Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading, the 1 Chronicles chapter 8. First Chronicles chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now Benjamin begat Bela, his firstborn, Ashbel the second, and Ahara the third, Noah the fourth, and Rapha the fifth. And the sons of Bela were Adar, and Gera, and Abihud, and Abishua, and Naaman, and Ahoa, and Gera, and Shephufan, and Huram. And these are the sons of Ehud. These are the heads of the fathers of the inhabitants of Geba, and they removed them unto Manahat. And Naaman, and Ahiah, and Gera, he removed them, and begat Uzza, and Ahihud. And Shaharaim begat children in the country of Moab, after he had sent them away. Hushim and Baara were his wives. And he begat Hodesh, his wife, of Hodesh, his wife, Jobab and Zibiah and Misha and Malcham and Jeuz and Shakia and Mirma. These were his sons, heads of the fathers. And of Hushim he begat Abitub and Elpaal. The sons of Elpaal, Eber, and Misham, and Shamed, who built Ono, and Lod, with the towns thereof. Beriah also, and Shema, who were heads of the fathers of the inhabitants of Aijalon, who drove away the inhabitants of Gath. And Ahio, Shashak, and Jeremoth, and Zebediah, and Arad, and Adair, and Michael, and Ispah, and Johah, sons of Beriah, and Zebediah, and Meshulam, and Hezekiah, and Heber, Ishimerai also, and Jezliah, and Jobab, the sons of Elpaal, and Jakim, and Zikri, and Zabdi, and Elienai, and Ziltai, and Eliel, and Adiah, and Beriah, and Shimrat, the sons of Shimhi, and Ishpan, and Heber, and Eliel, and Abdon, and Zikri, and Hanan, and Hananiah, and Elam, and Antothijah, and Iphidiah, and Penuel, the sons of Shashak, and Shamshirai, and Shariah, and Athaliah, and Jarasiah, and Eliah, and Zikri, the sons of Jeroham. These were the heads of the fathers by their generations, chief men. These dwelt in Jerusalem. And at Gibeon dwelt the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, and his firstborn son Abdon, and Zur, and Kish, and Baal, and Nadab, and Gedor, and Ahio, and Zachar. And Mikloth begat Shemaiah, and these also dwelt with their brethren in Jerusalem over against them. And Ner begat Kish, and Kish begat Saul, and Saul begat Jonathan, and Malchishua, and Abinadab, and Eshbaal. And the son of Jonathan was Meribbaal, and Meribbaal begat Micah. And the sons of Micah were Pithon, and Melech, and Tareah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begat Jehoada, and Jehoada begat Alemet, and Azmavet, and Zimri, and Zimri begat Mozah, and Mozah begat Benaiah. Rapha was his son, Eliasah his son, Azel his son, and Azel had six sons, whose names are these: Azrikam, Bokeru, and Ishmael, and Shariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. And the sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jehush, the second, and Eliphelet the third. And the sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers, and had many sons, and sons' sons, and 150. All these are the sons of Benjamin. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, you may wonder, as a lot of commentators do, why in chapter 8 here we return back to a genealogy of Benjamin. We've already covered Benjamin earlier in chapter 7, so why now here again in chapter 8, and why is it that the names don't line up? So, a couple of answers here. The first answer is that this is a different line of Benjamin's sons, and this line, what the chronicler is doing now is he is bringing us down to the monarchy, and so we will have Saul, the son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, be a part, not the termination of it, because there's one more thing that the chronicler wants to teach us here. But the first thing is that we are coming down to the monarchy. And coming to the monarchy, we must start back with Benjamin, because Saul of Benjamin is the first king of Israel. So that's the first thing. So these names, we don't know much about these names. We just know that there are a lot of these names, that this line of Benjamin is a very prolific line, that the Lord has granted much by way of fruitfulness. And so then we remember Saul himself, and that he was head and shoulders above his brethren, although least in the tribes of Judah, still he was indeed a tall and handsome fitting emblem for a king. The Lord had blessed them with many temporal things. Okay, so that takes us down through verse 33. When we get to verse 33 then, we have the sons of Saul, and we're going to descend upon one particular son of Saul, which is actually not a son of his, but a grandson. And here he is known as Meribbaal. Meribbaal is another name for Mephibosheth. Okay, and many of your Bibles will have that by way of footnote. Who is Mephibosheth? He is the son of Jonathan. And we'll remember, won't we, that when Saul died, Jonathan died as well. But Mephibosheth remained alive, although there were other sons of Jonathan in the royal line of Saul that did die. But Mephibosheth remained alive. He came to David, and David had sworn to Jonathan to preserve his name, and so he did. And so the last part of this genealogy is the fruitfulness of the sons of Meribbaal, or Mephibosheth. That the promise that David made to Jonathan was visited and blessed by God in Mephibosheth, in that his line is the last of the Benjamites that we hear about, and yet what do we hear about them? That they were prolific and mighty men of valor. So that's what we hear, and that really does close out the genealogies, because now in chapter 9 we begin with, "And so all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgressions." So there'll be a little bit more on the Levites, but now we're going to enter into the history of Israel as it is told from the perspective of the chronicler. The only thing that I would mention coming to the end of these genealogies is that let's remember that the Jews of the first century were focused on those genealogies. Focused so tightly, as a matter of fact, that in several lines, several times in the pastoral epistles, the Apostle Paul will counsel both Timothy and Titus not to give heed to Jewish fables and endless genealogies. They were still, in the days of the New Testament, wanting to press their pedigree as Jews, which would not be proper any longer. There is no more physical land. There is no more inheritance for that land. And so these genealogies, which were extremely important in the days of Ezra, That's why they're here. They're here so that they might help the people of God spread out into the land where they belong at the restoration. But in the days of the apostles, those genealogies had become stumbling blocks and badges of Jewish superiority over Gentiles, which the Lord would have none of in his church. There is not one group over another in his church that rides hard over another. So that's what we have here. And so we find that by the days of the apostles, especially Paul, writing to Timothy and Titus, that these genealogies had persisted, had probably been added to since the days of the Restoration here, so that they might keep track of their pedigree and believe that that was going to be a driving component of the church even into the days of the New Testament. And they had to learn otherwise, right? That was no longer to drive those who live here or there or who settle in ministry or not, and so on. All right, that ends the reading then of 1 Chronicles chapter 8.